Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, your friendly Clippers-centric podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content. We got a doozy of a show for you today.
We got some good stuff today.
Every single week on Monday, we do the Freshies, where we kind of talk about new guys to the roster, new things in the organization in general. We're going to be talking a little bit about the new broadcast team, very fresh.
Oh, yeah.
The lineup was fully announced, so we're going to be talking about that a little bit, as well as we got a special fresh perspective, an interview with Locked On Ravens host Kevin Ostreicher, so stay tuned for that. We're going to be kicking things off with a little bit of a view of the franchise from the young guys. Fee and T were both
very young when the Clippers were bad.
Yeah, yeah.
The tides have changed so much, it's very interesting to look at how the franchise is perceived now compared to other times when we maybe drafted people.
Definitely. Very, very interesting, especially, yeah, just considering how young these guys are. It kind of lose perspective, I think. It's easy to lose perspective.
For sure.
Then we're going to be wrapping things up with everybody's favorite off-season segment,
yeah.
Daily segment, Shavings, where we, you know, kind of dig around, see what's going on, and talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Before we get into it, if you're like me and you just can't find a workout that can handle your focus and physical prowess, you need to check out Peloton. Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, to get started.
It's kind of ironic that it's called Peloton because you do it by yourself, but I believe a Peloton is the group of cyclists.
It is a whole group of cyclists. That's a good call. And they will leave you if you're too slow. All right, so welcome to the first segment. I was just kicking this around because our rookies are 22. Fee,
yeah,
and T.
Old for rookies.
I mean, weirdly, yes. It's very weird how they are. But it's kind of interesting to look at the Clippers' trajectory through the eyes of our rookies. And then I added Shamet in here, too, because he's played, 30-something games for us?
Yeah, 26.
Player. Yeah. He's a young player, too. The Clippers have had 8 winning seasons in a row, with the 3 years before those winning seasons being a total win increase. So they've been on the upswing for 11 years. The last time the Clippers had a losing season, Terrence Mann and Fee were both 14 years old. So the narrative...
And probably weren't watching a lot of Clippers games,
and probably,
if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Lowell, Massachusetts, and I forget where Fee grew up.
Yeah, definitely not. So it's so interesting to think of from their formative years, from 14 and up,
yeah,
they've only seen the Clippers...
Greatness, as you know, they should be remembered.
They've seen the best years of the Clippers franchise, and a brief period where we had to handle the worst time in the Clippers franchise with Donald Sterling. But performance-wise, they are seeing it from a perspective. These are the first 2 draft picks in the Clippers as legitimate contenders age. You know, not as the guys who could maybe cause some trouble, even with DeAndre, Blake, and CP3. I wouldn't have considered us, you know,
as overwhelming
as
of a favorite. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As
I
being
see what you're
on,
saying.
You know, as like the top list for like, you know, fans who think he's going to win. Players think this team to have the best season. This is the first draft class of the legitimate contending Clippers.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say that.
It's just such a whirlwind for these guys to come into. Do you think that adds any kind of... Because, that you know, they weren't high draft picks in the grand scheme of things. We did move up to get Mann.
We don't know how high they were.
God damn. Excuse me, moved up to get Fee. That joke threw me off. Do you think this adds any pressure on them in the sense that they're possibly the quote-unquote future after this minimum 2-year window?
Because
they don't need to immediately impact, which is nice.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting thought. I think in a way, yes, because they will be here. I think that's a little bit harder that makes me hesitant to say that they're the future is. I just don't get. I haven't seen yet when their development time or play is going to happen.
Begins, yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
So you know, I think that this season will obviously answer a lot of those questions. But, I, you know, the organization is high on these guys. So I think that that definitely helps. And, I mean, yeah, I guess I would say that these guys are the future. Hopefully they can develop into, you know, at bare minimum, solid rotation pieces, even if they,
for sure,
they aren't, like, you know, perennially starters. I would say the future. I still just don't think that there's a lot of pressure on them.
That's what's nice, I think. They can kind of come in and develop, and like we both kind of expect them to see maybe more so Fee than Terrence, some heavy G League minutes for these guys this year.
Yeah.
It's kind of nicer in that position where you're kind of seen as possible building blocks for the future, but you are in under, as of, you know, 11:48 on whatever day of September this is, no real pressure to come in immediately.
Nope. Basically, everybody is kind of a draft and stash or...
Yeah.
Or a possible, you know, like, kind of a trade piece.
Yeah, like a dangling piece or something like that.
Yeah, like the extra, like, scale tipper in a prospective trade.
For when we trade.
That's how trades used to work, right? There was just a scale... And whatever you were trading had to weigh as much as the other thing you were trading for.
Yeah, back in the day. Oh, for sure. And if you really wanted to fleece someone, you put your thumb on that scale. That's what you did. And it's interesting time for Shamit, too. Second year guy. Coming in, only had 30-ish games with us. And he's kind of on this other... He's definitely the future of where the Clippers are going, even after this two-year window. But has had just barely over 30 games or something with the Clips. And can kind of be seen as... Not a veteran, but the way that Shamit has talked about and how he looks on the court, he acts as if he's a veteran. And I mean that in all the positive ways.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that. He's pretty composed. I think that he has some tough performances when, you know, shots aren't falling and stuff like that, which is which is nothing against him. I think that that's just something that you gain with experience.
Yeah.
Because, I mean... He played a lot longer in college than other guys, so you get a little bit more experience with losing.
Bouncing back.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I'm excited to see how much he grows even this year. You know who else always, like, I find really striking for how young they are and how composed they are? It's Jerome Robinson.
That's a great point.
Like, I mean, obviously we didn't get a good glimpse of what he's going to be able to do at the professional level last year, but the way he conducts himself gives me a lot of hope.
That's a fantastic point. I did, you know, I kind of referenced Fee and Man as the future, and I did leave J-Rob out of that, not in a disrespectful way, but you're totally right. He acts as if he's been here a very long time.
Yeah, there's, I don't know, and it's just little things. Like, obviously, like, the way he talks to the media and handles the media and stuff in the locker room, but just how confident he is with the other players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that says something about at least his belief in his skills, and the fact that his teammates aren't clowning on him maybe says something about their belief in his skills.
For sure. yeah, anytime... I like seeing those team-building videos because I feel like the Clippers have a nice smattering of, like, who's on the roster.
Yeah.
Like that paintball video. You know, there's, like, Zoo, there's Bet, there's, like, a full, there's some Rook, like, there's a new guy, like, a bunch of Clips went to the Rams game, and it was, like, Trez.
This is actually what I was thinking of.
Yeah, Trez, Zoo, Man, Jerome. Everyone just can hold their own within the group, which I feel like can be a hard thing to do when you're a new person.
Yeah.
Let alone a new person in an environment like an NBA locker room.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, I'm really going to be excited to see if it happens some Jerome, Man, and Fee minutes together in the G League.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see. I've read a great...
I don't know. We'll see. I
think Jerome's going to be up more with the Clips.
I would be surprised if he wasn't. I would take that as kind of a bad sign.
Yeah. I would definitely be a little bummed if it was like Jerome starting the year with the G League team.
Yeah.
That'd be tough. Let us know what you guys think about... the new guys, let us know what you think about the first picks of the Clippers' legitimate contenders generation? Couple of years? Time period?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the Freshies. We got a dual segment for you. We're talking the new broadcast team. And we have our sister station, Locked On Ravens.
It's true.
Outside perspective on the Clippers team. So welcome to the Freshies. The new broadcast team was fully announced today.
Yep. Yeah.
Couple of surprises. Brian Seaman, TV play-by-play, of course. No surprises there.
Yeah.
Very excited for that.
Great.
Corey Maggette and Mike the Czar Fratello will fill in when Chauncey Billups is busy and can't help out Brian Seaman. Psyched on that.
Do you think that, like, what's Billups' end game here? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Because he's, like, already an ESPN analyst.
Yeah, so it's like, just do that.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. Like, does he want a crossover?
You'd think there, from a
also,
money
perspective. Why the clips?
From a money perspective, there's got to be more money if you're working just straight for ESPN, right?
I think it just depends on how much. I would guess.
How much Ballmer's willing to pay you.
Yeah, well, yeah, that and I think it depends on, like, how regular you're on stuff.
That's a good call. Yeah, what is his end goal here?
I'm just wondering because, like, what connection. Like, you're going to be the play-by-play for the Clippers? I don't know. It's
yeah. There's going to be 20
games.
It's
a little baffling.
Yeah, there's going to be around 20 games where it's Fratello and Maggette, which will be cool. Mike Fratello stays working. That dude will never.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see an announcer age gracefully as opposed to how some other announcers are deciding to continue to be NBA announcers when they're like don't know who certain players are and stuff like that. And then Noah Eagle was announced to be the radio play-by-play guy, son of famous play-by-play announcer Ian Eagle. He called Syracuse games. He's very excited. I asked him on Twitter if he had an LA dog yet. No response, but we'll make sure he gets one right when he gets out here. Interesting that Maggette got brought back.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't
We're
know
not going to touch on the cases and the case and the situation and whatnot, but as soon as the allegations came out,
he was
gone.
He was dropped by Fox. Yeah.
Yeah, like that day, there was no more Maggette. Seems, I don't know. I'm assuming the Clippers did their due diligence on everything and he's good to go, but it was a bit of an interesting take him out the whole year and then bring him back now. Seems like an interesting play.
Speaking of like taking off and bringing back, how long is Bowen going to be? Like
banned,
but yeah,
I think he's done. I think he's out just forever.
Okay, all right.
It's, I mean, it, you know, that was the one thing that got us Kawhi,
Bruce.
Yeah, it's kind of sucks that Bowen's out, but people seemed happy that he was gone.
Yeah, I think I mean, it seemed like people disliked him on Twitter. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, he seemed fine.
Seemed like a good hang.
As it stands, we're a little over a week or so till media day. Seems like the Clippers media sphere of influence will kind of remain the same scope as last year in terms of radio and stuff like that.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, I haven't seen any new shows announced.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Do we think Ballmer has said, Tamara Zarley has talked to him about this, fantastic reporter. Ballmer has said he's going to try and add to it. But when, just in your mind, because the timeline feels a little too rushed right now, considering the season is... It starts on October 22nd and stuff like that. Do we think it just remains this kind of dearth of radio play for the Clippers? And there's, you know, there's no local news stuff. There's like Lakers beat stuff on local TV and stuff like that. There's no Clippers anything. When do we think the sphere of Clippers media will get larger?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know that on like a local level. It necessarily will get much larger
for sure.
Just because of that other team.
Yeah.
But I do think that like the Clippers will obviously be getting a lot more coverage from larger media outlets this year. Which isn't the same, you know, it's like having like the kind of hometown influencer coverage. But I think that that will influence other things to maybe take another look at the Clippers or for them to be a little bit more under the spotlight. Especially, you know, it's going to depend on how we do this season, obviously.
I know. It's so hard because I feel like the media, they're going to be like, all right, we can expand the Clippers media efforts if you win the championship this year.
I mean, pretty much.
It's like such a, like, pretty much such high stakes and what we have to do to be like, can we just get one daily radio show? Can we just get one that comes out? I don't even care if it's drive time, whatever, middle of the day, 12 to 2, something of just
11
like
to 1.
Anything of just like, we need, there needs to be a Clippers
11 p.m.
thing
to 1 a.m.
Yeah, the
I'll do
time.
It.
And this also speaks as a whole because of how ESPN is doing their radio now. There's just Los Angeles as a whole is kind of left out of the national scheduling.
Yeah.
Because we have so many East Coast based shows on the ESPN airwaves over here, and it's like, we don't care about
the, it's almost like there needs to be a network of team specific type coverage.
Yeah, that'd be a good call.
I also think the other thing that's gonna keep maybe keep the Clippers out of some of the media stuff is there's no direction the Lakers can go this season that won't get them pardon my French, ass ton of media coverage. Like, so there's no, seriously, I totally there's agree. No scenario. Like,
where it's,
okay.
Where it's an even-keeled news day.
Yeah, so either things are going really well, and everything is going to be about how this is the best team LeBron's ever had around him,
yeah.
And how he's, like, still somehow at his peak, or things go really poorly, and it's like, who can we blame that's not LeBron?
Yeah.
Maybe the coaching situation goes really well, and they're like, oh, wow, Frank Vogel is really a genius, or it goes really poorly. Should he be fired? Like, yeah. There's just so many new, like, more news stories that I think appeal maybe to a broader base or, like, a more casual fan.
When it's a sloppily run organization, there's always a bunch of crazy
stuff. I mean, it's a little juicier. Like,
no,
I'll be
agree,
honest,
man.
It's juicier.
Yeah, it's absolutely. You're totally right. It's like we're like
the team that's like, oh, we've got great role players and a couple of mild mannered superstars.
Yeah, we have like the chillest superstars. There's no leaks. There's no like bowls of soup aren't being hurled at people. It's and the thing that's hard with that is the national media picks up that. Times 1,000
yeah.
Plus all the local media already dictated. There's got to be something. We'll figure it out. I was, I guess, being mad about it online with some other Clippers fans. So maybe something will happen. Maybe
yeah.
We'll start. Maybe you and I can start like a pirate radio thing.
For sure.
Get a boat, go out to Catalina, get a transistor on there.
I'm scared of Catalina.
I'm scared. It just seems any island that people are taking helicopters to, I don't want to be on. I feel like I'm a target.
It's not really for me.
It's not for me. Right now, you guys are going to get to listen to our sister podcast.
That's right.
As those of you may or may not know, William the Opinion Updike adopted the Baltimore Ravens.
I like to think they adopted me.
There you go. As his NFL team this year. And we had the host electronic, Kevin Ostreicher, give some awesome thoughts from an outsider, some fresh perspective.
That's true. Yeah, it's always good. You guys hear from us all the time or other people who cover the Clippers. So
yeah.
Let's cut to that.
Let's cut to that.
Kevin, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for jumping on this Ravens bandwagon that's slowly beginning to form. We are accepting any and all members, so for any Clippers fans out there who would like to join William in this adventure, we would gladly welcome you with open arms.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're in the same, the Clippers are as a franchise are in a little bit of the same spot. I guess our bandwagon doors opened a little bit wider this offseason, but, you know, the water's still warm. Anybody can get it.
Definitely. I'm super excited. And I, as an NBA fan, you know, what the Clippers did this offseason is extremely impressive and frankly unprecedented. I did not expect the Clippers to have this big of an offseason. I kind of predicted Kawhi would end up on the Clippers, but this Paul George move, wow, what a splash that was.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start off there? I guess being an overall NBA fan, not necessarily a Clippers fan. What did you think of that of the trade that netted Paul George and was apparently the lure to get Kawhi as well?
Well, I think that the time for the Clippers actually is now. And with the way that the Clippers responded to trading away the Toby Bobby duo and really making
a
splash by making the playoffs in a year where after that happened, I did not expect them to really surge back and get the eighth seed. They beat the Warriors in a game last year and the playoffs, and that was impressive to me. So I think that if they had gone the route they were going and only added Kawhi, then they would have been contenders, don't get me wrong, but I think that he would need a second star to really reach his full potential, and they did just that with getting Paul George. And what I like about Paul George is his elite defense and his surprising elite three-point percentage. Over his career, he has a 37.8 three-point percentage, which you look at Paul George, you see a guy who is 6'9", and you don't expect really a sharpshooter, especially with the defense he plays. You might see an Andre Roberson player in him who is all
yeah.
defense, no offense. But with Paul George, you get both at a very high level, and it's really the same with Kawhi. Kawhi is another guy who you look at and you think he might be all defense. He maybe a little slow, not as athletic as some of the other players, but these two together, I don't know how you're going to package them and play them alongside with Beverly and Harrell. And Zubats is a guy who I loved, and the Lakers, we won't get into my opinion on what that trade was for them, but I think that that was a steal for the Clippers. Overall, I think this is an A-plus move for the Clippers.
Yeah, for sure. The loss of Shea was really hard. Getting like a playmaking point at that point in the draft, I never could, like, it came together better than I could have ever dreamed. So that one was definitely bittersweet for us. Similarly, the Ravens lost their longtime quarterback in favor of they went the opposite direction. They have a new young guy. What was that transition like to go from Flacco to Lamar Jackson? Was that like the same sort of a bittersweet goodbye, or was everyone pretty much ready for something new?
You know, it was really, there were two sides to the story here. There were some Ravens fans who were just ready, who had been clamoring for Flacco's exit for quite a few years after the team signed him to that large extension after the Super Bowl, which the Ravens pretty much had to do at that point because he just had won them the big game. But then they signed him to another big extension in 2016, which I didn't like very much, and a lot of Ravens fans didn't as well, and his play really didn't live up to it. So some of those guys were ready to just hand the keys over to anybody else and just get Flacco out. But for me, I think that this was bittersweet because Flacco had done so much for the franchise. He really helped turn it around after a few years of pretty bad football. The Ravens and John Harbaugh and Joe Flacco's first 5 years together made the playoffs and won a lot of games. And that was really a duo that I really couldn't see myself living without because of just all the memories that Flacco had provided for me, my family, my friends, and everybody around me. But with Flacco on the outs, they drafted Lamar Jackson with the 32nd pick in last year's draft. And what he did for the franchise was really reinvent this offense. Flacco went down in week 9 with an injury, and Lamar Jackson took over that starting job and never handed it back over. But the issue with that is that it's really night and day between Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson in terms of players. Flacco is a strong-armed gunslinger. Can't do a ton with his legs. He can get a first down when he needs it on his legs, but Lamar Jackson is that dynamic threat on the ground. So overall, I'd say it was a pretty bittersweet ending for most Ravens fans, but there were some people who really just wanted him out.
Yeah, always hard to lose like long tenured, you know, great players that add so much. Obviously, the Clippers have gone through a huge overhaul with a lot of exits, just getting us to the point where we are now. It all feels like a lifetime ago. So I think for Ravens fans, you know, like you got to be looking forward to it. So we talked a little bit about the superstar wings and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard that we've added, as well as some of the overall depth. Where would you say, from the outside perspective, is the largest weakness on either end of the floor for the Clippers currently?
Well, from my understanding, I really don't see a viable backup center outside of Zubats if you do opt to put Montrez at the four. I know he has been playing center as of recently, but I don't think Patrick Patterson really is that answer if you decide to put him at the five. I know that what you could do is you could slide Harkless into the four and put Harrell at the five. But I think that what the Lakers did here with getting Dwight Howard to really be a true center to JaVale McGee or vice versa, I think that if the Clippers could go out and sign a guy, maybe a Joakim Noah for his defensive presence or something along those lines, I think the Clippers are extremely deep on the wing. And with Lou Williams, Jerome Robinson, Landry Shamet, just to name a few, I think that's a strength for them. But if they could go out and get a backup center, I think that would really help them in the long run.
Yeah, I think you absolutely. I've been clamoring for Joakim Noah, I mean, since post Kawhi and Paul George. I do think that even more so than signing somebody like Iguodala or even Joe Johnson has been floated around recently, is being linked to the Clippers, that issue at the center position is definitely a bigger problem. Even if you don't have a ton of playmaking guards, if you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, those guys are both excellent, elite ball handlers in the pick and roll. And, you know, with their play on both sides of the floor, as well as their offensive games, it just kind of begs the question, like, what truly is the role of a point guard? And I think that it depends it depends on the construction of the roster.
I 100% agree with you. And you see that with LeBron James now becoming the new point guard with the Lakers and really fitting their depth. And Anthony Davis doesn't like to play center, so they're going to stick him at the power forward and really let LeBron run that point. You also see that with Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. So you really can't define positions anymore in this positionless NBA. So I'm excited to see really how the league shakes up this year with, you know, this pretty big and underrated move of LeBron moving over to point guard.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, we'll see how that whole operation pans out. The Lakers did pick up one of our, but probably the most hated Clipper player of the last several years in Avery Bradley. So, man, hope that all goes well for them. So that being said, you are a general NBA fan. Do you have a team that you follow or that you root for?
Yeah, I do, actually. I am a very big Denver Nuggets fan. I have come to this fandom. I was 7 years old. I needed a team. And I liked the name, and me being a pretty loyal person, I'd say I stuck with him ever since then. I went through the Moutier years, the Brian Shaw era, which didn't end too well. But now we have an amazing center in Nikola Jokic, a promising young point guard in Jamal Murray, who we just signed to a max deal. And really just a lot of depth, but Gary Harris, Will Barton, even the veteran and Paul Millsap, just to name a few players. And we also have Michael Porter Jr. waiting in the wings, along with Bol Bol, who I consider to be the steal of the draft. So my fandom does lie with the Nuggets.
Agreed. And both those young draft picks are like, I love that move for the Nuggets. They just already have a wealth of depth and really great, you know, top level players. So they can kind of use draft picks to take chances on guys like this, who Michael Porter Jr., you know, a lot of Clippers fans wanted us to take him at like the 13 spot. That's a no-go for me. But hey, man, if you guys, if either one of those guys are able to stay healthy and play even to a portion of what their potential is, you got a great rotation piece. And, you know, I mean, if they can stay healthy, you know, one of those guys could be an all-star caliber player.
I have to agree with you, and you're right. They have so much depth they could afford to take a year on Michael Porter Jr. They're going to do the same thing with Bol Bol, although the difference with Bol Bol is that he has clamored to the media that he is fully healthy, but his role this year will most likely be as a two-way player in the G League just to get his weight up, to get him some more beef on his muscles and to really just refine his game, because he is a deadly three-point shooter, and if you can shoot a three, it's 7-2, someone's going to take a chance on you.
Oh yeah, I hope to see some G League action of Bol Bol going up against our young guys. We got Fiondu Capengelly and Terrence Mann. Everybody's really excited. Terrence Mann is expected to make a jump into the starting lineup at some point. Jerry West has said that he sees it as his strong prediction. So if you trust in the logo, then that could be possible. I imagine that Fee will be spending most of his time in the G League, so could see some exciting head-to-heads there.
Yes, and I love it. I think that, you know, Michael Porter Jr. has probably outdone the G League by now. I think that his role with the Nuggets will be within the actual bench rotation. But you look at a team like the Nuggets, and you see a team who actually has two former G League players in their bench rotation of Monte Morris and Malik Beasley, who spent almost a full year in the G League, both of them. And they've come up and really provided an impact. And I don't think the Nuggets make it as far as they did last year without those two players. So hopefully Fee and Terrence Mann can provide that same energy and that same play for the Clippers in the near future.
Yeah, we can only hope. I mean, the Nuggets have drafted, I feel like it's not talked about enough. The Nuggets have drafted so well. It's like almost that, It's of a different style, but it's almost of like that, like the Sam Presti early Thunder construction where they ended up with three All-Stars. Like, it's not quite like it's not quite to that that level, but I would say front to back, it has a depth that I don't feel those teams ever really had. Speaking on Jokic, what do you think that he is going to add to his game this year that could possibly elevate the Nuggets or keep them at the top team in the Western Conference?
I think a big thing for Jokic is to really just improve his three-point shooting. People don't understand that he is actually a good three-point shooter. Throughout his career, he is a 34.5% three-point specialist is a strong word, but he is a three-point shooter, and if he can knock that number up to 37, 38, I think that he will provide quite a bit of value to the Nuggets that wasn't there last year. A big jump in 2017 to 2018 for Jokic was his defense. He was really a liability on defense in 2017. The Nuggets had Yusuf Nurkic really mask that, but then he was shipped off to Portland after some disagreement with the Nuggets front office and coaching staff. So they brought in Mason Plumlee in that deal, who's really masked Jokic's defensive weaknesses. But in 2018, he took a big jump. He actually didn't rate in the negative category in terms of wins above replacement within the Nuggets organization in terms of defensive prowess and defensive stops. So if he can get a little better on the defensive end, because he wasn't perfect and nobody is, but if he can add to his defensive game, he averaged 1.4 steals and 0.7 blocks last season. So if you can get a guy who gives you 21 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists per game while also being an elite defensive player, I think that he will be unstoppable.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, like, I think that defense, like we talked about earlier in the Ravens segment, like when you have the guy who sets the example for everybody, and I'm not saying that Jokic is like the defensive tone for the Nuggets, but when you see like roster front to back, everybody putting in that kind of effort on defense, it's infectious. And I feel like in the NBA, that so much of it is honestly just effort, especially from top tier guys.
I have to agree with you perfectly there. I think that Nuggets have prided themselves on defense. Michael Malone has been quoted saying that his favorite play in basketball is a 24-second shot clock violation, because that is just the mantra of good defense. You force a team to take a bad shot that's an air ball, or you just don't let them get a shot off, or you block the ball, they get it back, and they just can't get another shot off. So that's Michael Malone's favorite play in basketball. And the Clippers really added those two defensive studs in Leonard and George, and that's really going to help them out, especially against the Lakers in the battle for LA, with stud players like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, even a Kyle Kuzma in there, who can really just enforce their will whenever they want. So with Kawhi and with Paul George, who really, in my opinion, are two of the top five defenders in the NBA on the same team now. So with the Nuggets really trying to find their defensive identity, I believe the Clippers, without even playing a game, have already found theirs.
Who do you think in the West is going to be the hardest teams for the Clippers to move past to make that deep playoff run, to hopefully make that first Western Conference final?
And well, if I didn't give a nod to my Nuggets, I would not be doing them justice. I do believe that they are at least a Western Conference Finals team this year, which I also believe the Clippers are. So I think that might be a Western Conference Finals matchup that we see. I think with Jokic's just ability as an all-around center, he can bring the ball up as a point center. He can pass like no center has really ever passed in at least my lifetime. And I think that with the addition of players like Michael Porter Jr. into that bench rotation, we got Jeremy Grant, who is a defensive-minded power forward, to come off the bench. And I think that with Jamal Murray and Gary Harris, that backcourt duo might give the Clippers some problems. So if they can get past the Nuggets, I think they might have some easy cruising. I also think the Lakers are a threat. I mentioned that battle for LA there, the Kawhi and Paul George versus Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But I really like the Clippers' depth. I don't think people give them enough credit for what they've been able to build over the past few years, especially with the capital they got in the Tobias Harris trade, with Landry Shamet being a guy who I really liked coming out of Wichita State. And he's really proven to be a player who can, you know, really enforce his will from the three-point line. I also believe that the Rockets got better with the addition of Russell Westbrook. It's just really, it's going to be interesting to see how those two and James Harden and Westbrook share the ball. But if they can figure it out with Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, PJ Tucker, that team can also be extremely dangerous in the West. Excited to see this. You know, the NBA playoffs are, with the NFL, just some of the best sports you'll ever see. So I think both these teams will be in the playoffs next year, the Nuggets and the Clippers. And I can't wait to see how it all shakes up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Kevin.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And we're back.
Thanks for enjoying that. Now we're doing our shaving segment. It's fantastic. Thank you to Ostriker for helping us out with that. Just want to give a quick shout out to Locked On NFL. Travis Wingfield is forced to cover the Dolphins still continuously. Check out Locked On NFL. Check out Locked On Ravens. Fantastic host. Fantastic friendly homerism is how I would describe it. Right?
What? Locked On?
NFL.
Yeah.
It's like friendly homerism. It's like rational homers.
Yeah.
Which I feel like we kind of are. I don't know. shaving segment. Congratulations to the Rivers family.
Oh, yeah.
Doc Rivers' daughter married Seth Curry this weekend in Malibu.
The best Curry.
The best Curry.
Good call.
A Curry who, to all the OG Locked On live stream heads, a Curry that we really wanted on this team. Because at one point we broke down that he was better than Avery Bradley by legitimately every conceivable metric invented by humans to measure how someone plays basketball. It was astonishing when we looked it up.
It was really astonishing.
No, shout out to that family. Shout out to the River. Shout out to the Curry. That was fantastic. Now to the most important news of the day.
What do you got?
For some reason, this is trending all over. Jamal Crawford is the only NBA player that Kawhi follows on Twitter.
Which...
That's an exclusive list.
It is.
If you don't know who Kawhi follows on Twitter, I'm going to list it right now. It will not take very long. Jamal Crawford, of course. The Jordan Brand. That doesn't make any sense.
You can tell just how long it's been since he's logged in.
I don't think he's tweeted for since 2015. HEB, which is that beloved supermarket chain in San Antonio.
Okay.
The Spurs.
Naturally.
Impact Sports Management, which I don't think he's a member of anymore. And, of course, the San Antonio Wingstop.
I love that it's specifically the San Antonio branch.
He was like, I don't know. Okay, I've been to a couple Wingstops. There's only one that has my heart.
Do you think...
It's the San Antonio Wingstop.
Do you think that he makes trips back to go to that Wingstop?
Yeah. I think he... I hope he does. It's so funny that he follows... By my count, definitely not on Jordan anymore. Definitely not on the Spurs anymore. And I don't think it's on Impact Sports Management anymore. That's 3 out of 7 that are no longer affiliated.
Well, I mean, it's a Twitter that clearly has not been updated in a very long time.
I love it. Jamal was asked why he thinks Kawhi follows him. And he said, I love his game. And so I think he remembered that I thought about him and liked his game before everybody else. That's fair.
Yeah.
It is kind of odd that the one NBA player he follows is Jamal Crawford, who was never on any of the teams he was on, plays a style of basketball that I think you could describe as the antithesis of how Kawhi plays basketball.
I don't know about the antithesis, but it is very different games for sure.
Okay, he doesn't play defense. He's very saucy with his handles. He's not a very good shooter, unless he's hot.
I was going to say,
unless he's hot. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. If you watch this and you're like, all right, so think of Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, no, Jamal Crawford is never coming up in player comps.
I mean, it's cool. I hope Jamal teaches in some crossovers.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty tight.
We talked about some ISO work where this could really come in handy. That 15th roster spot would be Jamal teaching Kawhi some nice handles. Jamal has a bunch of handles. And moves that he will not do unless he ever makes an all-star team. He has said this.
Okay.
He has like a whole secret bag. What if we sign Jamal? He teaches Kawhi all those secret moves.
I mean, that'd be pretty great.
I'm going to
be wild. Like thinking of Kawhi out there like doing
like untucked jersey being like.
Doing like saucy Jamal stuff.
Like head fakes and like doing like, he has a great one where he does the like dribble behind the back and then like wow, like you're spinning the opposite way, like just to see Kawhi like just bring the court up, untuck his jersey and just call for the ISO. People be like, what the hell is going on? Like, what is this?
No, I love it. That'd be terrifying.
Untucked Kawhi would take the league by storm, dude. Untucked Kawhi would be crazy.
Do you think that how large his hands are would make him, he could take Crawford's handles to the next level?
For sure. And with the way that they don't really call carrying right now for guys with huge hands.
Yeah.
Like with like KD's crossover, his hand is underneath the ball for a good part of it. Like his hand is like there's no, like you can pause it and like he's just carrying the ball. So yeah, I think Kawhi could do some absurd things. I hope we see, Trez broke this out a lot last year, was the one-handed pass fake, the Jordan-esque thing that Lance Stevenson tried to do literally every single game last year. Trez did it only a couple times and it worked every time, but we might see some of that from Kawhi this year.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I want to see like some fake really hard throws because he's holding a baseball effectively.
Yeah.
Is what Kawhi is doing. He's like, I need a
softball,
baseball.
But yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I hope we see some, maybe I don't because I might throw his game off. But it would be great if you learned some moves from Jamal.
It would be so funny. I feel like people would be kind of mad.
Yeah, if Kawhi came to the Clippers and then was like, forget everything that got me to this.
Could you imagine Pat's face if Kawhi grabbed the ball, called for the ISO, and then like was just dribbling at the top?
Just doing tons of behind the backs and then like lifting his foot up so he's going behind the back. I just can't imagine
Doc's face. I can't imagine Pat's face.
I think both teams would try and call a timeout at the same time. I also think Kawhi would go crazy with it and do that thing where you use your knees to dribble the ball up as you bring up the court. Oh my God, I hope that happens. Let us know if you guys want Jamal Crawford to impart any crossover wisdom on Kawhi. The dialogue is there, I feel like. There's definitely mutual respect.
It's true.
One of them is a great basketball, you know, it's...
Were you going to say one of them is a great basketball player?
No, I was going to say one of them is a great basketball player and the other one's Kawhi. No, shout out Kawhi, shout out Jamal. I hope we see Untucked, you know, and one version of Kawhi this year.
I'm excited.
Maybe just once. Maybe just on opening night.
Oh, man. Can you imagine how mad people would be?
I would be mad, I think. We're laughing about it now, but I think I would be upset about it.
I would be livid. You know how mad I get when the ball isn't moving.
You don't need ball movement if one guy has Jamal Crawford's handles and Kawhi's everything else.
All right,
that's
man.
The perfect basketball player. Actually, Jamal plus Kawhi would maybe be the perfect basketball player.
It's absurd. Yeah. No.
Well, when locked on... Jamal Kawhi-ford.
So are you? You're just taking Jamal Crawford's handles?
No, and attitude. <All right. laughs> You're combining everything.
So then, like, are you taking the aggregate of their field goal percentages and the aggregate of their win shares?
No, I'm taking all the good from Kawhi and all the good from Jamal. I don't see how this fails,
right, man.
All right, basically, you just give Kawhi Jamal's handles.
I know, but aren't there even better, better handles in the league that you could impart? Okay.
Not historically.
No.
Unless
this is an absurd argument.
It's not an argument. It's just me talking on a Monday. Let us know what you think other superstar Kawhi should absorb their power of, a la the Monstars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He
kind of sure.
Like is our Monstar, which I'm happy about it. Thank you guys for listening to this Monday pod. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We'll be back tomorrow with Twitter Tuesdays.
We're going to be live.
Send us questions, 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Twitter. Thank you to Ostriker for giving us that outside perspective.
Yeah.
From the East Coast. Nice to see.
Yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thank you for listening.